posting a 10-minute video, and if first set of audience is watching the entire 10-minute, or let's say 80 to 90% of the video, YouTube will make sure that more and more it reaches out to more and more people, right? So even with 5,000 followers or even with 10.
Super thrilled to announce that today's episode is brought to you by an incredible sponsor, Akshat Jain. So he's a fantastic resource for those of you who are interested in the world of venture capital and business. And Akshat is a student who talks about the venture capital sector and shares his insights and perspectives on LinkedIn. His articles are an absolute delight for anyone looking to understand the ever-evolving landscape of VC, startups, and business innovation. He covers everything from explaining basic terms to talking about the future of VC. So you can connect with Akshat on LinkedIn to stay up to date with the latest trends and insights in venture capital and business. And you can find him at Akshat Jain just by searching up Akshat Jain on LinkedIn, and I'll also drop the link to his handles in the show notes. So take the next steps in your business journey. Invest in your future by investing your time in Akshat's insightful content. And now, without further ado, let's jump right back into the podcast episode. So hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. So today we're joined by Pankaj, who is one part of the duo behind Backstage with Millionaires, a YouTube channel, Instagram page, and so much more. So hi, Pankaj. Could you share a bit about what is Backstage with Millionaires podcast and YouTube channel for those who may not be familiar? And what's next for you and the team?
Sure, Rohi. First, like, thanks for having me. I think Backstage with Millionaires, we started to just cover stories about Indian entrepreneurs. And then we started it back in 2019, right? For first year, it was just interviewing founders and, you know, asking them to tell their stories. It was only during pandemic when we did not have, like, we could not have people to, you know, come to our office and sit in front of the camera, that we started doing other kinds of content. Whether it's news items, whether it's case studies, or like, or other kinds of top 10 videos, basically everything that's happening in an Indian startup ecosystem. And I think that's going great right now. We have so much to cover, right? We are always looking for more people to join the team. But I think going ahead, we are looking for more avenues to provide value to our existing audience, right? How can in education or helping them to be a part of Indian startup ecosystem somehow. We are exploring ways to do that.
So firstly, I wanted to say it's absolutely amazing what you guys are doing. I've seen your content on Instagram and I've seen your content on YouTube, and I think you guys are doing a really great job. I absolutely love your thumbnails and your way of storytelling in your podcast, like in the introduction. It's really, really good. And so my next question to you is, so what was the scrappiest thing that you did when building up the YouTube channel and Backstage with Millionaires brand?
I would say we have filmed in a lot of scrappy places, right? You won't even imagine, in a small dingy room of a co-working space. Or whether it's Caleb's house, right? Just going to a corner and putting in a screen, like green towel or something as the background. So yeah, initial few days took a lot of doing scrappy things just to make a piece of content, right? It's just that now, since last few months, like 6 to 7 months, that we have our office. Before that, we were either filming in someone's house or in some co-working area, or just asking for people to rent their one room in their office for like few podcasts. So if you go back and look at our earlier videos, right? Earlier podcasts, every podcast you'll see have different settings. So yeah, a lot of stories like that.
Great to hear how scrappiness was at the core of everything that you've done in your early days of Backstage with Millionaires. So I wanted to ask you, so this is actually a rephrased question of Akshat Jain. So why are you and Caleb bullish and focused on Indian startups and entrepreneurs rather than, say, doing the whole Southeast Asia loop or doing any other regions of the world? So why specifically India, and why now? Like, what's that kind of insight that you could share on that front?
I think we did not, it's not like we woke up one day and just thought that we will do this, right? I, for example, before this, I used to run a media company, a news website, where we used to cover Indian like business stories, startups. I'm following your story since their early days, right? And really loved what they were doing. So when we got an opportunity, Caleb comes from a photography background, and I think that sort of then became like a synergy, right? I loved exploring and reading and telling Indian stories. Caleb was really good with the camera. So, and you were like, what's better than Indian startups, right? Because when we started around 2019, things were just starting up, right? There was like, today we hear every week Indian startups raise $1 billion, right? That time raising $1 million of like Series A, Series B was a big thing. Like newspapers used to cover that. So I think that was the time when we started. And like what gives us energy every day to wake up and come to office and make content is because like we're seeing real change of what's happening, like what startups are creating on ground, right? Like Shark Tank is a great example, right? It came last year and now it's becoming sort of, you know, talk of the town. Like everyone is talking in their homes in small cities. But we have been seeing that change since last many years, right? So I think just the sheer change that's happening on the ground, that is what forces us every day to cover more stories, reach out, like reach to more people, and just push more people to start up, basically.
That's a really good vision and a really great mission behind everything you're doing with Backstage with Millionaires. So my next question for you is more along the lines of YouTube. So my understanding is that you've been on the YouTube game for a few years now. So what works and doesn't work on YouTube? Like anything you can share for aspiring YouTubers out there?
So I think YouTube space has changed so much. Like I've been paying attention to this space since I would say 2016. I think that time around 2016, 2017, there were these people who had first mover advantage, right? And I think having a lot of subscribers sort of directly influenced how many views you'll get, right? But I think that has changed a lot in the last 3-4 years. Now YouTube doesn't sort of, your subscribers don't indicate how many views you'll get, right? If first set of audience or the first set of viewers really like your content and like are spending more and more time, if you're let's say posting a 10-minute video and if first set of audience is watching the entire 10-minute or let's say 80 to 90% of the video, YouTube will make sure that more and more it reaches out to more and more people, right? So even with 5,000 followers or even with 10,000 followers, now you have an opportunity to reach hundreds of thousands of people, right? Just by making great content. So I think one thing that people used to say about YouTube earlier was there are already existing, like it's very tough to get into, right? But I think that's not what determines the success on YouTube. It's like, are you providing a valuable content? And if people see value, YouTube will make sure that within a very short span of time, you have the opportunity to like reach to a lot of viewers.
So I think my key takeaways from all this is your subscribers don't indicate the viewers and creating valuable content. So my next question for you, so what's your research process behind your podcast and creating such engaging and informative videos for your shorts, for your Instagram, like anything you could share for the audience that aspires to be a storyteller or that aspires to start creating their own content?
I think first prerequisite to become a content creator is you have to be interested in what you do, right? So I think a lot of people, on especially on social media, struggle with the, you know, this notion of becoming interesting. Like, how can I become interesting, right? But I think to be an interesting person, you first have to be interested in things around you, right? Only when you can show a genuine interest would people find you interesting. So if you want to make content about, let's say, startups or business, first you have to be interested in that field. Can you read about those things? Like, are you reading about those things in your free time, right? So that is something that you can't get from anywhere, right? You have to be genuinely interested in something. Only after that, I would say, start making content on that, right? So the way we do this is, since I'm reading about these things throughout my day, I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Google News, I'm on these websites like Inc42 and Tracker, right? So you, like, you learn how to see a trend that everyone is talking about this and people are talking about this on Twitter. So let's make a next case study on it, or let's make a short about it. So I would say just be in that ecosystem and you'll find tons of ideas and, you know, opportunities to make content.
That's a really great insight you shared on, you know, being more knowledgeable about the ecosystem and reading more. And so my next question is, so since my audience is primarily made up of like college students and students interested in venture capital and startups, so how could they start becoming more involved in the Indian ecosystem according to you?
Ah, that's a broad question. First, I would say you can begin with just consuming content about, you know, startups and entrepreneurship in general. We spend so much time nowadays on digital media and we are consuming all sort of content, right? I think just narrowing that down to begin with, you can start, like, you can subscribe to websites like Ken or Morning Context. They write amazing pieces of content. And I think once you, like, start understanding the crux of it, how value is created, you'll find venues yourself, right? Then you'll want to connect with founders on Twitter. You'll want to send them a request and, you know, send them DM, ask your questions. And maybe out of 10, you know, 7, 8 people won't answer you, but 1 or 2 people will answer what you're asking, right? So I think you can begin with just reading about these things. How is a startup made, right? What is a unicorn? What are, how does someone raise funding? Why do VCs invest in a startup? In general, how is value created in the society? So once you start doing that, you'll find ample ways how to get into VC or whatever you want to get into.
I think a big theme out of all this today was to create value, seek value, and create valuable content. So my last question for you is, so could you share a bit about tier 2 and tier 3 startups? And I know you had a series done on that for your Backstage with Millionaires YouTube channel. And what do you think lies ahead for tier 2 and tier 3 startups?
Yeah. Like, first, what we have to understand is tier 2 and tier 3, what we call, basically, they constitute like 80% of India, right? So, like, the first phase of Indian startup ecosystem was, let's say, from 2003, 4 to, you know, like, it lasted for 10 years till 2013, 2014, right? And that time, most of these entrepreneurs were people who were working in the, either working in the US or actually studied in US, because they saw the startup ecosystem in Silicon Valley firsthand. So they're like, why not come back to India and, you know, start building. So if you see Make My Trip or even Flipkart, right? These people, they saw what's happening in the US and they tried to do the same in India. Then that gave, you know, that gave the courage or motivation for next set of people who are studying in IITs, in Indian institutes, right? And they started building the next set of startups, I would say, from 2013, 2014 onwards. You see startups like Swiggy, PhonePe, startups like those, right? And after pandemic, I'm seeing a third stage of Indian startups, right? Especially like Shark Tech India sort of coincided with that. Now everyone has access to 4G internet. Everyone has access to all those, information sources that people in cities have. And people, they are sort of becoming a part of this, part of what earlier only people from tier one was, right? So now everyone is moving to these big cities, learning what's happening, and then going back and building in small towns. So what I would say next growth, because tier one is sort of saturated, I would say, at least in terms of new startups, right? So next set of growth is going to happen in tier two and three, right? And another thing to understand here is till now, people in tier two and tier three had this sort of notion that the studies, they have to get a job, right? Either government job or private job. But like for good or bad reasons, there are very less jobs in India, right? You can't give jobs to so many people every year. So I would say that would force a lot of people in these small towns to actually start building something of their own, right? And are there other things like getting a loan is becoming so easy, right? There's this entire thing called India Stack, which was brainchild of Nandan Nilekani, right? UPI was part of this, ONDC was part of it. Going ahead, all these data platforms are going to be part of it. So what that is doing is everyone has a payment, mode of receiving payment, right? With UPI and with ONDC, you can start your D2C brand with like within a day, right? Just get a Shopify account or whatever, right? Dukan is doing that in India. So what I would say is groundwork has been laid now, and what I'm seeing is a starting of third phase of Indian startups, and most of these are going to come out of tier two and tier three.
That's great to hear your optimism for the region, and it was an absolute honor and pleasure to host you on the podcast today. So do share how the audience can connect with you, how they can get in touch, and anything you could share on that front.
I mean, first, you guys can start from watching Backstage with Millennials content. If you want to connect with me, you can find me on Twitter. My username is PankajS07, right? Maybe we'll link it in the description of this video. Or just find me, Pankaj Chauhan, Backstage with Millennials. You'll find me on all platforms. Thank you, Rohini. Thank you for your time.